Petri Dish is a product of Petri Dish Media, all rights reserved. Petri Dish is a science comedy podcast and should not be used as medical advice. Do not get medical advice from a podcast.
And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein.
Science! Science!
I know the human being and
science
can coexist peacefully.
This was our finest.
All right. Yeah, you know, there's all these ads for the propositions now. And it was like, I don't know why, but it was like almost genuinely jarring when Batman / Gavin Newsom came onto my TV and was like, Prop 30 is a lie. And I was like, ah! I was like, Christian Bale, I didn't know he's a Democrat.
Batman!
Yeah, took me like 3 minutes to realize Gavin Newsom.
Yep.
It was only when he hadn't thrown a phone against the camera for the entirety of the ad that I thought about it.
I understand.
Who? All right, guys, welcome to Petri Dish. I'm Nathan.
And I'm Sean.
But yeah, man, you know, I think She-Hulk is like fun. Like, I don't know why anyone doesn't like it.
You know why.
Well, I mean, of course, what's really weird about that, though, is that, like, She-Hulk is supposed to be female. It's not like they recast She-Hulk as, yeah. like, it yeah. wasn't like He-Hulk. They already sure. got a He-Hulk,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. I don't know what everyone's deal is, man. She-Hulk is, like, very pleasant. It's,
well,
like, a fun show.
Just, there's a lot of manufactured rage about pretty much any new thing that comes out.
That's true. It's just, it's funny, because I'm, like, I think I'm a cynic and, like, kind of a curmudgeon. Like, I dislike 60% of Marvel things.
I know.
And I'm talking about, like, every show that's come out has disappointed me at some point. Even the ones I liked.
Yeah.
Like, episode one of Loki was, like, good.
Yeah.
And I was, like, really unhappy after episode four. Because, like, I liked that show.
Sure, sure.
But this is just, like, it's just, like, good times. And, dude, like, Tim Roth is fun in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Brandon Wong is really funny in it. It reminds me of when he was on It Crowd. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, he was on IT Crowd. Yeah.
He was on IT Crowd
in
the underground game show.
Yeah, the countdown. Yes.
Jinx.
Yes. Dude, that was an excellent episode.
We should have a game called Jinx where it's just two people trying to say the same thing at the same time for 60 minutes. Jinx! It's like, they've bought four coats. Get fucking some SNL cast
That's
member.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
Okay, guys. Well, anyway. So, welcome to Petri Dish, guys. I'm Nathan.
And I'm Sean.
Guys, we've explored the wide, wide world of hepatitis, part one. Now we need to finish up our hepatitis by talking about chronic hepatitis.
You don't even remember what we talked about.
That's
in that
not
episode.
True. In episode one, we talked about the hepatitis that are acute. And now we got to talk about them chronic ones.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. All right. Hey.
Okay, Sean, define chronic for me.
It's the chronic. Yeah, sure. Do you want to actually get into the episode first, or do you want
to
do that now?
I just figured, okay, well, all I was trying to say was, like, you know, whereas we talked about variants of hepatitis, well, actually, it's interesting, because hepatitis relates just to condition, right?
Right.
So hepatitis viruses are very different from each other. They're
right.
just different species.
So two of the acute ones, A and E, are actually very different viral species, so they're not variants of each other,
right?
Like Delta and Omicron are variants
right.
of the coronavirus.
Yeah,
they're not similar in the same sense that, like, the one that's causing coronavirus right now, we call SARS-CoV-2.
Right.
Because it's kind of similar to the SARS virus, right?
Right.
Not even similar like that. Like, these are two fucking very distantly
right.
related
They're
viruses.
They're just linked by the fact that they both fuck with your liver.
That is right.
So, okay, so today we're going to talk about the hepatitis, the viruses that fuck with your liver that are chronic.
Right.
These are the naughty ones.
Yeah.
These are the ones, it's true that Americans, on average, know 15 people with these versions of hepatitis. Right? So, like, someone in your life has hepatitis.
Wow.
Let's talk about it.
Only if you
this
know...
This culture of silence must not stand!
All right, let's get into
Band
it.
And play song!
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. All right, guys. So let's just, like, really quickly rehash chronic hepatitis. Hepatitis right. that flares up over and over again, right?
Right, right. So, like, A and E, like we were talking about last time, they'll hit you, and sometimes they might hit you hard. It kind of depends on your condition and everything. Pregnant women, for example, hepatitis E can be very dangerous. So it's not right. like being acute means that it's safe or
doesn't
anything.
Doesn't mean it's cute.
Right. Exactly. Dangerous. Being acute don't yeah. mean that like it's cute.
Like sugar. Sugar oh. is dangerous, oh, even though he's cute.
Yeah. You're talking about BTS right now. Huh?
I am. Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
my God.
I'm bringing it back.
Oh, my God. Let's get
like 10 years ago.
Let's get the band back together. Okay. But chronic ones are the kinds where maybe you'll get a little bit sick the first time around, but then it will keep coming back. It'll keep coming back. Maybe it'll be years apart, but you'll keep having this issue where it's messing with your liver function. Okay. And your liver can become more and more damaged over time and less able to repair itself as it gets scarred. Mm. Your liver is actually an interesting organ in your body in that, like, I guess, you know.
It's not. No, just kidding.
It's interesting. It's just like, you know, I think we take for granted that our organs can heal because, for example, if we get a cut on our skin, we see our skin heal.
Right.
We're like, oh, we have this regenerative capacity.
Some people can get their arm cut off and can grow it back. They're called mutants.
Yeah, right? They're fun.
Liver does not heal back well, right?
No, it does.
Oh, it
that's
does?
What I'm saying.
Fuck.
Is that like so like skin
you set me up.
Skin might make us think that all of our organs have this capacity, right. but like for example, our hearts
yeah.
have almost no regenerative capacity.
That's interesting.
If your heart gets damaged, you're pretty much gonna have that damaged heart for that's it.
Okay. All right.
So
all right,
yeah,
all right.
So basically, you know, there are organs, plenty of organs in our body where if they get damaged, you really have a limited ability to repair them. Your liver, though,
right.
on the other hand, can actually repair itself a lot. Like
yeah.
there's a lot of elements of your liver that can get damaged and then bounce back from it, okay?
Right.
It's just that if you have enough chronic damage to it, gradually over time, you will start building up scar tissue.
Okay.
It'll try to heal back, but it'll form a scar. Just like if you get a really bad cut, it'll heal, but you'll have a scar there, right?
Mm.
And when that happens to your liver, over time, it loses function. That's called cirrhosis, when you get more and more scar tissue on your liver.
Okay. Cirrhosis is only for livers. Like, yes. You can't say, I have cirrhosis of the eye or something.
As far as I'm aware.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
so
medical
cirrhosis.
Doctors, if that's not true, let me know.
This is how hepatitis actually kills somebody, right? It's like scarring your liver over time?
Yes, typically. It can also cause cancer.
Okay.
In the sense that causing that damage repeatedly can also cause inflammation in your liver.
Right.
That's the hepatitis part.
It's kind of like the war in Ukraine happening around nuclear power plants, right? Is like the war itself is a cirrhosis. And if you hit the nuclear power plant and it went up in flames, that would be the cancer. Now you mutated everything.
This might work out. I think that might check out. Yeah, that's good.
I think Coon's going to use tactical nukes, dude?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I was reading this cool article about it that was like, do it, bro. No, I'm just kidding. It was not like that, nor was it cool. It was wonky and didn't say that.
I think you should just, you know, get one fake victory, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, have him, like, take one small town and then be like, we did it, guys.
He should
we
just
did it, and
move
then just, like, call
to
it.
Panama. He's, like, the richest man on Earth.
He's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of money.
Isn't it, like, you know, people talk about how humans are primarily selfish. Like, this is, like, the lie of capitalism, is that humans are primarily rational actors looking out for their self-interest. Poon, he ain't fully selfish. Am I right? Like, if he was fully selfish, he already had it going.
Yeah.
He really cares about the Russian myrrh, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, he wants the...
He does have this strange compulsion to stick it out
right.
and, like, really try to win this one.
He's, like, the richest man on Earth. If that's all the motivated people, we would not have a war in Ukraine.
That's true. That's true, because he's already got it.
So take that, capitalism.
Yeah. Wow.
All right.
We nailed it.
So, okay, so the two big chronic hepatitis are B and C.
Yep.
Let's talk.
Yeah, well, I do want to mention, though, that there is a Hep D,
ooh.
Okay? And Hep D can make things worse, although it's not one of the big two, the B or
right.
C. Hep D is interesting in that it only can replicate in people who already have hepatitis B.
Wow, all right, but it's a different virus.
It is a different virus.
Weird.
But it borrows some of the proteins from Hep B in order to replicate itself. So literally, it cannot replicate itself unless people are infected with Hep B.
Right.
But Hep D does make hepatitis B worse, symptom-wise. So it's not like it's just in the background doing nothing. It actually does make things worse if you have both.
Okay.
So Hep B and C, despite...
Because you got all your food, right? And then the takes a little bit of it, feeds their kids, and then there's more kids making everything worse.
I guess if we beep out strategically, we can keep it. I like that one. I do want to keep it, but
Gypsy. I had a buddy who I was making a gypsy joke. I'm sorry, right? Yeah. And then I was kidding, because gypsies are so esoteric to me. Like, it's not a real thing. All I've ever heard about gypsies is stuff that's so virulently racist. I'm like, wow, gypsies are a very maligned community. Uh-huh. And I was making a joke about it, and someone was like, that's true. And I was like, ah, geez. Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah, we're in trouble now. Oh, we did it.
All right, anyway.
Okay, so
but we're done with Hep D now.
Yeah, so hepatitis B and C, the two big boys, despite both causing chronic hepatitis, are not even close to related to each other.
Interesting.
They're almost as distantly related as two viruses can be.
Right, and again, this should actually not be weird to us at all. We're so used to names referring to genetic groups nowadays, but again, hepatitis just refers to symptoms.
Right.
So this is, like, not weird at all.
Yeah, yeah. Especially diseases that got named in a little bit of older times,
yeah.
Right? They're much more symptom-based. So because hepatitis B and C are very different viruses, they tend to exacerbate one another. So you can actually get both of them, and they can both fuck you up pretty seriously.
That sucks.
Okay. Hepatitis B and C are both blood-borne pathogens. So to get it, your blood needs to come into contact with someone else's blood.
Right.
This can happen through accidents and injuries, but also from sharing of needles, from a mother to child during birth.
I mean, someone we know got it through intravenous, you know, because when they delivered a kid, they had so much blood loss that then they had to get transfusions, and the blood had hepatitis C.
It wasn't tested or whatever.
Interestingly enough, the kid, no problem, right?
Sure,
it happened afterwards.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Huge bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, I've learned from Game of Thrones is that it's hard to be a woman. And this is just another example of that.
If there was one message from the latest incarnation of Game of Thrones,
it's that dragons hate thrones. That's like all I picked up from the last episode. Man, this dragon really hates thrones, dude.
So
dragons are smart and allegorical.
So like nowadays in, you know, modern places, blood that's donated is tested regularly in order to make sure that there aren't blood-borne pathogens like hepatitis B and C.
Right.
But before we knew what the fuck those things were or how to test for them properly, sometimes it slipped through the cracks, basically.
Well, and I can't remember, but this happened in some country that will go unnamed because it's like almost intrinsically racist to be like, oh, blank country, you know, a shithole.
Great.
You know, I mean, what's interesting is I'm pretty certain it's either Argentina or Korea or America.
All shitholes.
It probably happened in America, didn't it?
Well, we try to test for it. So with hepatitis B, around 10% of people who are infected with it will end up with chronic hepatitis.
Bummer. All right.
That's actually a lot better than I expected, though. Only 10%.
Okay. So then the other 90%, it's just like...
They don't end up getting chronic hepatitis. Yeah.
That's like how polio actually only fucked up like a pretty small percentage of people, right?
Yes, especially like hardcore fucked up, right? The kind where like your nerves get on, FDR style, right?
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that we just like decided to care about those things in our country at one point? Whereas now it's like, yeah, let them die.
Well, you know, the bigger one for me is that long COVID is going to fuck with people in a lot of ways for like the long term.
Right.
And if there's one thing we're definitely shitty at, like clearly the pandemic response could have been better.
Yeah.
Right. Something we're definitely bad
at. I got the checks, though.
Yeah, I know.
Financially, it was great.
I did, too. Yeah. And I still haven't gotten COVID, so that's great. But the long-term care of people, we are terrible at.
Just writ large.
And, like,
we're awful at caring for people long-term.
Yeah.
On an individual level.
Yeah, people who aren't even sick. But, like, these people are going to be sick, and they're going to have elements of disabilities. Not just physical stuff, but also, like, there's a brain fog symptom of long COVID.
Crazy, man.
And, like, we're going to be seeing that on a huge societal level.
And people are going to say it's oligomers that cause it. And we're going to get in this French cul-de-sac about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Republicans are going to be like, how do we know it wasn't their personal responsibility
to
not have gotten COVID?
Well.
So we're going to be like, well.
But they're all going to have COVID. So
that's
so it's going to be confusing.
You know, Donald Trump's got some brain fog, am I right? I'd like to think that an early variant got into Donald Trump and inherited brain fog from Donald.
That's where COVID got him. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Anyway, out of the 10% of people...
You guys gotta stop taking documents, am I right?
This is crazy. Yeah.
Just don't keep them.
And the ones you got, give them all up. What are you doing now that's going to make things better?
He's like, what else am I going to sell to the Saudis? You know?
So, like I was saying, with hepatitis B, 10% of the people who are infected with it will end up with chronic hepatitis.
Right.
And then out of those 10%, 15 to 25% will go on to have liver failure, cirrhosis, or liver cancer.
Huge bummer.
So that is a minority of both of those levels, yeah. Right? But it is still a noticeable amount of people.
That's still like a shit ton though, right? I mean, like, didn't you tell me some, or is this later? Like, there's some numbers that you have here that like, yeah, like 1 million people die from this shit a year, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so that's serious. Still a lot of fucking people.
This is serious. Yeah.
Yeah, to put some realness on these percentages.
Yeah. And with hepatitis C, more than half of the people infected with the virus will develop chronic hepatitis.
Wow, okay.
And then about 5 to 25% of those people will develop cirrhosis. Damn. And liver failure, etc.
What is it about, like, structurally, like, as, you know, proteins and viruses and shit? Mm-hmm. What's so much worse about Hep C than Hep B?
Yeah, so we're actually going to get into that in the next segment, but let's take a break first, because basically part of that has to do with how immune evasive one of them is.
Mm.
And we'll get into it.
Cool. My name is Tyler Jerry. You may know me from such edgy travelogues as A Lonely Sailor's Guide to Bangkok and Man Parts Unknown. If you're like me, you love a hot and hotty ride in a rickshaw. There's no better way to explore former colonies in style. Then you go home, stuck in your dinghy Kia, and doesn't it make you wish you were riding a carriage pulled by some thick dandy? Then mount up, missy, and download Rick Rods. It's like Uber, but you'll be picked up by a hot rod and a sexy rickshaw. We hire only the strongest and sweatiest men to pull your ride, so anyone who sees you will know you're queen bitch. Don't fuck with me. I've got a rickshaw. Some would say, why a rickshaw? They're slower than basically anything else. Those people are pussies. They don't get power. So leave the ride sharing to them. Our gents are eager to take you where you need to be. Hail 'em and ride 'em all the way through town with Rick Rods. Download today.
You know who wasn't immune evasive? Was Kevin Spacey. Am I right? No, it's like allegations
dude,
come
that
out.
That dude walked right
and
into
it. And the first thing he did was like make a video where he was like, you're gonna love me. you're like, okay, man, bye.
Yeah. There was a solid chunk of people who weren't sure and then watched that video and were like, that man's a pervert.
Kevin Spacey scraped thousands.
Yeah. It's like, God damn. It's like, oh, man. Okay. So, look. All right. So one of the big differences between hepatitis B and hepatitis C is that Hep B has a safe and effective vaccine available.
Right.
Which everyone should get.
Okay, cool.
Hepatitis B vaccine.
Protects for life, too.
It's a very solid one. It seems like you are protected for the rest of your life if you get the shot and the boosters that you're supposed to get. Okay? And there are several vaccines that are approved in the U.S., although most of them basically just use antigens from the viruses, like small protein chunks, pieces of the virus, to stimulate the immune response. So there's
no
live virus.
You could drink a protein shake, and it'd do the same thing then, right? There's a lot of chunks of protein yeah, in that. A lot of pig.
It's a whey.
Andre Day's whey batter. Made with real chicken bone.
Have you filmed anything?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Anything? Yeah, come on, man.
It's just the sound design to that.
What's Stacey the sound design?
Stacey, I don't know. Dun, 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 dun. 100 days for Baba.
I mean, it's true that Stacey's busy, but, you know, whatever.
She's busy buying berets for me, am I right? Dude.
The beret looks good.
It looked good.
It looks good.
Yeah.
I like it.
I've lost 3 pounds.
You lost 3 pounds because of the beret?
Yeah. I put it on and like a little French fairy came out of it and dunked me 3 times and I lost a few pounds.
What did the French fairy do?
He was like, you used to teach me, didn't you? Took me away and married me.
Nice. Macron reference. Beautiful. Okay. Where the fuck were we? So in this vaccine, there is no live virus in there. Okay. So it's good for even people who are immunocompromised.
That's
obviously
cool.
Consult with your doctor, but like the main point is that there's no infectious virus in there, unlike a few vaccines that are still around.
What about us Americans who don't believe in doctors? Can we consult, like, our shaman?
Yes. Consult nature.
So we were driving in downtown, and we got onto, like, the 110 or something, and there's this one little place where you can merge from the 10 to the 110 or whatever that freeway is, and it's just, like, a 24/7 witch coven. It's just, like, we passed a few times now. It's just, like, because it's in, like, the grodiest part of that on-ramp. And it just says on the sign, it's like, open 2 a.m. to 6. Right? It's just like, fortunes.
Wow.
We should totally do like
that's
a guest
fun.
Episode.
Some Baba Yaga shit in there, yeah.
We should actually generally invite someone to talk about the science of their witchcraft.
Why that would be do like you think that would
so
genuinely be
interesting
fun?
To do
that. That sounds genuinely disturbing, but you know, whatever, whatever. It's
keep
okay.
Going,
it's okay.
Keep going.
Okay. In contrast, there is no vaccine for hepatitis C. People have been trying for years, and I think the most recent news that I saw was from 2021, that one of the vaccines that was in a phase 2 trial failed. It did not protect against infection.
Wow.
Despite producing an antibody response and a T-cell response. So they could measure that the immune system was reacting to the vaccine,
okay,
but that was not good enough to protect against the hepatitis C virus.
Why is hep C so evasive?
Yeah. So there's maybe two reasons.
Mm.
One reason is that hepatitis C has a lot of strains running around, a lot of variants, basically.
Okay.
And so maybe it's difficult to design a vaccine that can kind of cover all of your bases.
Right.
Or maybe, you know, they got unlucky, basically. They designed the vaccine.
Presumably the vaccine would still work on some of those cases, right? Because it's not like everyone they test would have different variants.
That's
right?
True. But at the end of the day, what you're looking for is a statistical signal.
Right.
And so if you
their
protected
efficacy is 20%.
Right. Then that's not good enough.
Doesn't pass muster, baby.
It doesn't pass, right?
But like only 1% of humans matter because of wealth. So like, what do we care if it protects 20% of people? That's still 19% better than capitalism.
Have we opened it up? Have we opened it up to 1%? I thought it was the 0.1% that actually matters.
That's true.
I didn't know we were doing 1% all of a sudden.
Yeah, communists.
Yeah, that's like what? Like
what are you, Athens?
That's like 70 million people. That's way too many people to matter.
Yeah, can you imagine them all at a party?
At the Poconos. Okay, so look.
Where is that, by the way?
I think it's somewhere near Pennsylvania, near Philly, because
like,
there's an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where a big storm was coming.
Poconos.
Yeah, and Mac really wanted to get to the Poconos because it's a mountain, so he was like, that's going to get us away.
Oh, have you been watching any Welcome to Wrexham?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. Calm down.
You need to quit and watch more TV, dude.
Although I did hear that Ryan Reynolds
and
McElhenney.
Because of the show, I know how to say his name.
Yeah. McElhenney.
Yeah. Well, fuck you, man.
Yeah!
This is my moment.
They got, like, a prostate exam or something, and they, like, filmed it.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. To like, raise awareness. They, like, kept the camera on their faces their whole time. As they're like, I think it was prostate. It was something fun.
That's cool.
There was some
yeah,
stuff.
I think, you know, I read this really douchebaggy Vulture article that was, like, you know, like, the smarmy rich people, you know, trying to like, what's their whole angle about self-promotion with this thing? It's like a dialectic of three of the worst human critics ever.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't know, man. Like, the show just seems like a lot of fun to me.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems like it's cool that they bought this club, and it seems like everyone in Wrexham, like, is pretty pleased about how it's panned out. And and perhaps more importantly, like I don't know, like self-promotion. It's like Ryan Reynolds' movie career is the self-promotion for all his whack-ass like other things.
Sure.
Like
the movies are the promotion.
Yeah. Like the tequila is not the promotion for Deadpool. You know, Wrexham. Yeah. Welcome to Wrexham does not make Deadpool a more successful franchise.
Yeah. Plus, Ryan Reynolds could literally just walk outside, and it's immediately getting promoted, right?
Yeah.
Like there's gonna be people taking pictures of him.
Also, this is like a Welsh football club. It costs $2 million. Yeah. Like these are poor people in the poorest, or these are rich people in the poorest sense of rich.
Yeah.
Like, dude, we have relatives who could buy Wrexham
FC. That's true.
You know?
And it's beautiful.
You and me could save for 10 years and we could buy a Welsh football club. Like, that's fucked up.
Yes. there is something actually very scary about what you just said.
Right. I mean, it's basically saying, like, to knock Rob and Ryan about that inequality is, like, totally miss the point about the broader structure of inequality that we live in right now.
Yep.
These are not Ted Bowley buying Chelsea, right? Or Roman Abramovich, for that matter.
Sure.
You know, they're not, like, laundering fucking Russian war money into buying Wrexham FC.
Yeah, they just wanted to own a football team.
Yeah, and like make a, you know, honestly, I think like the premise of buying the football team is mostly to have a really cool documentary.
Yeah.
Which is great because it's a great documentary.
There you go. There
I hate Vulture.
Yeah, well.
Anyway. They're vultures.
Yep.
It's like in the name. Can you imagine if you named your website Stupid Piece of Shit? like it would be, it's weird.
Well, it's at least halfway honest.
StupidPieceOfShit.com. No, you're not.
Oh. You're going to be nice.
Smart.
Wow.
And you're, if you're poop, you're gold, dude. You're gold poop. Gold poop. Big old geese.
You heard it here, folks.
Of course, that poop's the biggest golden poop.
All right. Well, look.
That was long.
Anyway.
I just feel passionate about it. And you need to watch the show.
The only thing I was trying to say.
I have feelings about it.
Was that hepatitis C exists. Yeah. We don't have a vaccine for it. People are still trying, but honestly, it's like not looking so hot.
Yeah.
There are some antivirals we can give people. And actually, the antivirals are pretty good to the extent where if it's relatively early and you don't have a lot of liver damage yet, you could basically be cured of chronic hepatitis with these antivirals.
This is going to be like a really stupid question. Did antivirals exist before HIV research?
Because
I only know them vis-a-vis like HIV research.
I'm trying to think of the earliest retroviral that I can think of. Yeah, I think they did, but a lot of research centered around HIV really opened up an entire sort of group of them related to antiretroviral treatments, and that has become like a very big area that sometimes those drugs will get repurposed for other viruses.
That's cool.
So I do think that that was a big kind of explosion of that class of virus.
All right, well, let's take a break from this and Wrexham, right?
Yes.
Let's switch subjects.
Yes.
Let's talk about whales more generally and antivirals, right? Let's like dig into what these antivirals are for hepatitis C.
And whales, okay.
The following is an actual advertisement.
Our sponsor for Petri Dish is a product that I literally have been using every day, Athletic Greens. So I started taking Athletic Greens because, you know, maybe if I wasn't a garbage person, then I would actually be cooking completely balanced meals and eating them for every meal of the day and taking them into work and all this stuff. But just realistically, I don't have the time or energy for that. You know, like I'll do some meal prepping and I'll cook some things, but realistically, sometimes I just eat junk food or something. And it's a really good way to be able to get a bunch of vitamins and nutrients that normally you could get in a very well-balanced diet, but hey, let's be realistic.
Is this like a smoothie? What is it?
Do you want me to describe that earlier?
Yeah,
so basically the way that Athletic Greens comes is in powder form, okay? And what the powder is it's a powder of things like spirulina and a bunch of other greens, vegetables essentially, right? And so it has over 75 different vitamins. It's kind of like taking a multivitamin pill.
Right.
Except because you're usually taking it in some kind of food or drink form, it's a little bit more bioavailable. You're absorbing it a little bit easier. And it kind of tastes good.
Right. Vitamins are bullshit. Except in Athletic Greens.
No, I think just the broad point.
Yeah.
The broad point is that vitamins are real. Our bodies do need them,
right?
It's just that a lot of times people will not have a well enough balanced diet to actually get all the vitamins they need.
Right.
And Athletic Greens gives a good way to be able to get that. When it comes, they typically recommend sort of the base way to do it is to dissolve the powder in some water and you like shake it up in this little shaky container they give you. I thought that was pretty good, but I kind of like it mixed in with some Greek yogurt. So that's the way I've been eating
it. That
sounds
good.
I think it's fun.
Guys, let me tell you something. You know, there's two guys who talk in this pod, me and Sean. One uses Athletic Greens, Sean. I don't. And, you know, I'm not looking too hot these days. I'm not looking too great. Look, you know, I look worse than Sean. And Sean has recently had a dead man's knee implanted into his knee. So you know.
That's great.
And I think a lot of that comes down to Athletic Greens.
That's beautiful. Look, so one of the cool things about getting an Athletic Greens subscription now is that the subscription comes with a year's supply of vitamin D, like an extra vitamin D supplement, which is important because, frankly, almost none of us get enough vitamin D in our diet. It's one of the most common issues with people is that they'll have low levels of vitamin D. And so this is a good way to get it. And, you know, it's all year round, including those winter months when we're all staying inside.
Yeah. Well, or those summer months when you're still staying inside.
I like computer games. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what to, I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah, dude.
I've been playing a lot of Path of Exile. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that's affordable. It's on par with having a multivitamin, right? And it's been reviewed a lot. Over 7,000 five-star reviews, according to the ad copy.
All from scientists. So it's been peer-reviewed.
Well, at the end of the day, there's nothing really woo-wee-woo about this product.
Right.
It's vitamins in powder form.
Right.
Mix it with some stuff and eat it.
Right. I'm a skeptical guy. A lot of health stuff, I think, is... I'm skeptical about. But this is sure shit. It's like a bunch of vitamins.
It's pretty straightforward. And I guess here's some ad copy I'm supposed to read verbatim. Whoa. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. That's actually true. I will say one place where vitamins play a really big role is in the functioning of your immune system. And so if you're not eating a well-balanced diet, your immune system can have some detriment to it
due to
not having enough vitamins. So, you know, it's just one scoop in a cup of water every day or with some Greek yogurt. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy.
That shit is expensive, dude.
Yeah, it can add up for real. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/emerging because we're an emerging podcast. That's what they've decided. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/emerging, EMERGING, to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
It's kind of like how poor people call themselves lower middle class. Emerging pot, I'll take it. Anyway, guys, go get this shit.
That is exactly what it's like.
Go buy Athletic Greens.
You are right.
All right, so what do you want to tackle first? Welsh history in the Shakespeare Henry ad or antivirals? Oh. Yeah, wow. That's esoteric.
You know some interesting things.
I know some Welsh shit, dude. I love Wales.
Isn't Wales where, like, Arthur and some dragons and shit?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the Pendragon shit
was kind of
about Wales.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, Wales used to occupy, like, a very mystified role in English culture.
Sure.
Scotland, they were dirty and, like, hard to invade.
Sure.
And Ireland was just, like... I mean, they didn't even treat the Irish people as human. That's like where, like modern notions of race were invented by the Elizabethans in their conquest of Ireland.
Sure.
Wales kind of occupied the same role as, like, Humboldt County in California.
Oh, where you get the weed.
Weirdo fairy types, you know?
They live in barrows.
Magic, yeah, totally. You know,
hobbits
and Vales and hills.
That's beautiful. I've always been confused because looking at a map, it just looks like a little lump on England. And it's like...
It's a lot of hills, actually.
What was keeping anyone out of there, you know what I mean?
It's bad weather.
All right.
You gotta remember that, like, a hill to us... That just looks like Redondo Beach to them is a mountain.
That's true.
Right?
That's
it was a different time.
That's true. Yes. You know? English notoriously bad at climbing hills.
It took him like 600 years to like.
Weak ankles, really. They just don't have the ankles for it.
All right. Harry Kane, the footballer. That's an esoteric reference for Tottenham fans.
Wow.
Weak ankles.
Okay.
Anyway.
Antivirals.
Okay, so we don't need these for Hep B because we got a vaccine.
Yep.
But Hep C, we can only get rid of with antivirals.
Yes. Several drugs on the market right now approved all over the world for curing Hep C. Okay, and they've got a lot of names.
Curing.
You can actually cure Hep C.
Oh.
Yeah.
You
need to get the nice antivirals, which sometimes are expensive.
Okay, who are these elves?
Velpatasvir. Voxillaprevir. Sofosbuvir.
And it's like not a problem that they're played by black actors because they're perfectly cast. It's like, I don't understand the backlash.
The only thing I've heard is that some people are mad. No, this is not the only thing I've heard. But the funnier thing that I've heard is some people are mad that there's only one black elf. And they're like, have a shitload of black elves. They should have hired more black actors. So
you're
there's
in
like
such a liberal bubble.
I know.
It's so funny. Whereas I'm like, where are all the Asian elves at?
I know.
Asians already look like elves, am I right?
Yeah.
You know, like I've watched Chinese Wuxia or whatever, you know?
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about, like Chinese teen.
Is that like Chinese Pornhub?
No. No. Don't say that on the pod. we'll get banned. From Xi Jinping.
No. Like, I think it's, I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong, but it's like the genre of like fantasy. Oh, fuck you, dude. Right.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay, but anyway, yeah, man. No, the new Lord of the Rings show is like just good. And I like, don't understand how people don't like it except raw racism, right? Like, I get if you're just like full blown racist, you don't like it. But if you're not full blown racist, it's like, good. It's like a good show. It's so much better than I expected because I thought I was going to hate this shit. I had no excitement whatsoever. And I read one good review and I was like, okay. And I saw it and I was like, what?
Yeah, well,
I was flabbergasted.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it.
And dude, you know, me and Sean played Lord of the Rings online.
Yeah.
So dude, we have like fucking gone deep in Khazad Dûm, you know?
Oh, dude. We were like way
dude,
in
you
there.
You see the Kingdom of Eregion, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And like, Celebrimir? Who I've been saying Celebrimir this whole
time.
That's
what I was saying too.
Hard C.
Oh shit.
Whoa.
Like Celtic, I guess.
Yeah, I mean in retrospect. And
yeah, it makes sense now, yeah. Fucking Tolkien,
and
you
dude,
nerd.
And the Harfoots are great.
Goddamn Tolkien.
And like the whole thing about like the race-blind casting is like, dude, everyone is perfectly cast.
Yeah, well.
Right? Like, they're so perfectly cast, it makes me think like, I don't know why we care so much about black and white. Because like, they're all hobbits. Right? Like,
yeah, well, sure.
Like, literally. Like, you look at the hobbits and you're like, oh my god, these people are all hobbits. And then afterwards, you're like, wait a minute. Sure, some are black actors, some are white actors. Black and white is like seven alleles.
Sure.
Like, this guy looks like a hobbit.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a hobbity little fucker. Sure.
Crazy,
I gotcha.
Man. Crazy, man.
Yeah, well, so.
I've never been less racist than watching Lord of the Rings, except vis-a-vis the differences of the different races of elves.
There's been a lot of stuff relating to this race thing coming up. Like, the Little Mermaid was a big
right.
hubbub.
It's like, look, the only good reason to do crass bullshit remakes of all these Disney classics mm-hmm. is at least to recast the lead.
Yeah.
Right? Because otherwise it's all, like, I have so little respect for, like, I mean, who cares what I think? But, like, I have so little respect for them remaking all this garbage.
Yeah.
Except for, the, like, at least have
yeah.
a different Ariel.
Switch it up, yeah.
I mean, that's like the only redeeming quality about it.
Yeah, and then make it, you know, so that little girls who want to see a Disney princess that looks like them,
yeah.
except it's a mermaid, but besides the mermaid
What's
part.
With that?
Yeah, that's great. It's great.
And like, you know, because you know they're going to add like four awful songs to
sure.
to this
Probably.
Version. It's going to be such a piece of shit. Yeah. At least it'll have. Like, at least it'll be more diverse.
That's great. Okay. Wow. Fuck.
A lot of rants
What
today.
Were we even talking about? Oh, yeah,
I
we were talking about
so the... much pent up about pop culture
you,
right now.
You've had a lot. You've
and
really,
like,
you've been doing a lot.
And you need to watch some.
You've been doing a lot.
Or I'm going to have to talk about that
the people need to understand on the podcast. Okay, like, a podcast audience needs to understand that I'm a busy person. I'm a busy person, and I am sleepy a lot of the time. Okay, I just want everyone to know.
Whereas I am an impoverished father.
Yeah, and see, that's the part that doesn't make sense. Because, like, technically... You're at right. least as busy as I am, if not busier.
Yeah.
But somehow you're watching all this shit. How are you doing it?
I don't know. I know you have 2 hours at night to like have a thing.
Yeah,
on.
But I'm playing games.
Well, see, that's what it is. I play less video games than I used to.
Ah, there you go.
I mean, during the day, I'll, like, what's funny is I have all these hours logged on Warhammer 3 now.
Because you're just like sitting there.
Yeah, it's like I forget to turn it off.
Sure. Okay. Well, fuck. Okay. We need to get back to this episode. Are you kidding me right now?
No, but this is like, really good pods have these digressions. It's not just dick jokes.
I mean, I think
this
that's
is
true.
Good.
I think that's true, but...
I'm like proud of myself for the first time in years. Well,
I have mixed feelings about that statement, but yeah.
I'm like so happy to be part of the zeitgeist in a positive progressive way
for
once.
That's good. That's good. Yes, that's true, actually. Because
usually I'm just such a curmudgeon.
Normally, Nathan's pretty regressive when it comes to that. But whatever. He's like, why can't everything be Citizen Kane?
I just don't like Taika Waititi.
Oh,
he's really handsome.
Yeah.
I like looking at him.
That's most of it for me.
Don't let him make movies.
Oh, come on. Some of them are good.
I really like the TV show, What We Do in the Shadows.
Uh-huh.
I find the movie kind of dull.
Oh, me too.
Someone fucking do. I swear to God.
I'm with you on that one.
People have like, I've like been trapped in an outhouse for days because someone locked me there because I didn't like that movie.
I think the show is clearly superior, and I think that the movie
it's
has.
It's Matt Berry.
Yes.
Matt Berry's so fucking good.
Yeah, he's got so much fucking charisma.
They're all good though.
Yeah, they're good. It's just the movie I think is a fun premise and is fun for a little bit and then is kind of boring.
A little boring,
yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Okay, wow.
Yep.
Sean. shut up. Fucking, am I right?
You're a fucking dumbass. Okay, look.
I'm trying to talk about Hep C.
So when it comes to antivirals, the fight Hep C.
Well, here, let's re-say real quick. What are the names of the three antivirals?
You're going to make me say them again? They're hard to say.
Well, I mean, that's where the digression's
Valpatisvir, Voxillaprevir, Sofosbuvir.
So do you think they're Sylvian elves or Noldorfs? I'm just kidding. All right.
Okay, so there's a lot of other ones. Okay, that's not the point. The point is that there's three main ways that they can hit hepatitis C, okay? One class of the drugs disrupts a viral protein called NS34A serine protease. It's a viral enzyme that helps process the other viral proteins to actually be able to build the virus. Because basically when the virus's genome is getting read by our bodies, because it hijacks our body, right? As it's being read out and turned into a protein, it's turned into the big, like, mush, chimeric protein that doesn't do anything. So what the virus needs is it needs another protein to come along and actually cut up that protein into pieces that actually work, okay? So without that protease, you actually cannot form a functional virus at the end of the day, okay? Another target of the drugs is NS5A, which is an important virus protein that doesn't do that much on its own, but it binds a lot of the other virus proteins to help the virus make copies of itself.
And it's five times as dangerous as the NSA.
NS5A, motherfucker!
National Security Administration, because I spit hot fire! That's all.
Beautiful. Other drugs are used as well, like drugs that help prevent the virus from making copies of its RNA because it looks like the nucleotides and so it binds into the spot and then you can't make the full
smart
RNA. Yeah. So when used together for the full treatment course, like the whole time you're supposed to take it, if you take all of the drugs that you're supposed to, all three different ways of fucking with the virus,
right.
90% of people can be cured of hepatitis C.
Okay, but there's got to be crazy side effects.
Well, see, the thing is, there's actually not too many side effects of the treatment, typically. Typically, people actually feel pretty good while they're taking it.
Well, thank God you can only take half the treatment and be fine, and it's cheap.
So that's the thing. Is the bigger issue is that this is a lot of different drugs you have to take, right? You have to take, like, at least three if not more, drugs. Yeah. And each one of those drugs are not cheap, okay? Right. And there's like 58 million people with chronic hepatitis C infections and 1.5 million new infections every year.
Do you have a general sense of the demography of Hep C, especially the geography?
Yes. It has a tendency to be amongst poor people, typically in urban-ish areas. And the demography is mostly in developing countries. Yeah.
I think you mean the capitalist disadvantaged?
Yes. The exploited.
But, okay, so poor people in shithole countries get a lot of this. I know, you're so careful.
So another issue, though, is that like you can get infected with Hep C, maybe have a little bit of an acute response where you don't feel well, you're like feverish or something, but then it goes away and you kind of don't know you have Hep C, really.
Sexy. Right?
And so there's a lot of people who have it and just like really don't know they have that infection for a while and keep spreading it. And even once you're cured of Hep C, this is the issue with a cure from antivirals instead of a vaccine, is even once you're cured, you can get Hep C again.
Right.
Right. So, you know, if you're in an environment where you might be more likely to get Hep C, for example, if you were an intravenous drug user.
Right. Or had an addiction to transfusion of blood.
Exactly. If you're a serial transfuser, okay, then the issue is that you could be treated and cured of Hep C, but then you could get it again.
Wow.
Pretty soon after, right?
Bummer.
And then you'd, of course, need another course of treatment. And so none of that means that people shouldn't get treated. Of course, everyone should get treated for it. But that's one of the reasons why it would still be great to have a vaccine.
Right.
Is to truly actually be able to make it so that people can't get reinfected.
But it's too evasive.
Yeah. It's very immune evasive. It's very good at kind of not generating a full immune response. Mm. And actually, we're not totally sure how it's doing that so well.
Right.
It's an area of a lot of study. If we understood that better, we might be able to make a vaccine better.
It's probably so small that it's indeterminate.
Whoa.
You know what I mean?
Like a quantum thing?
Yeah, yeah. It's probably so small. It's like a hep quark.
I hate the day that you learned anything quantum.
It's like a hepatitis quark.
You got so fucking far on this. It's like a wave.
It's like a wave function before collapses,
see,
right?
You are the reason I know YouTube was a mistake. Because it taught you quantum, and then now you've only been quantum.
So now it goes, that's the sound a quantum particle makes while it's virtual.
It's so terrible.
And so it's like really hard for vaccines to deal with it.
It's so frustrating. Because
vaccines are a little more macro in their scale.
Oh.
And so they're not quantum.
Okay.
Okay. And they're like, where is it? Wait, did you hear that? I think that was a quantum particle. Oh, where'd it go though? Yeah, the vaccine doesn't work.
That makes a lot of sense. You should run that one up the ladder, okay? You should...
Talk to my manager at the bar.
Get that to the president of vaccines.
My president is in charge of Paradis Lagardus, a broader conglomerate of airport bars.
Okay, so I don't know if we're supposed to...
That's a funny phone call for him to get, huh?
I don't know if we're supposed to take another break, so we're going to pretend this is a break.
Let's take a break.
But if we don't need it, Stacey, cut it up.
Okay. All right, guys. So we're back. Maybe.
Okay. Look, I wanted to
a bonus.
I wanted to end this episode out with something that we mentioned last episode. This virus called Torque Tenovirus or TTV. Okay. So when I was looking through a bunch of hepatitis viruses, this TTV came up, and TTV virus was identified as potentially causing hepatitis.
Fuck you, dude. I know you did that on purpose.
It was identified as potentially causing hepatitis since they found that people who had symptoms of hepatitis also had this virus.
Cool.
But after they looked around some more, they found that kind of everyone has this virus. Even people who don't have symptoms.
Wow.
Of hepatitis or anything.
What percentages are we talking about?
68 to 95% of all humans on Earth.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
So that's like Adam and Eve had... TT virus.
It's like, for whatever reason, pretty much everybody on Earth has this virus in them.
Right. Wow.
Like, just like floating around in our bloodstreams.
For 6,000 years. Keep going. Don't let me stop there.
So older people tend to have more of the virus chilling out in their bloodstreams, but younger people have it too, just at lower levels.
All right.
And like, what the fuck is this virus doing, right? Like, what cells is it infecting? It's not making us sick, right? Like people aren't just walking around every day sick. So like, we're not mounting an immune response, clearly. What's going on, right? So I read one study that found that TTV has nothing to do with Alzheimer's disease, so that's good.
Hilarious.
Somebody was clearly like just trying, like reaching for anything.
What if it's like something really cool, like it helps break down the bicameral mind or something?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that was there was like a physical barrier that made this bicameral, and then like this virus broke it down.
Yeah, yeah. That's why the Senate in the House doesn't make any sense to anybody.
Yeah. Why have bicameral?
It should be unicameral.
Okay, it's just one big mosh pit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Can you imagine
everybody
just like
fucking
AOC and Ted Cruz? Like in a mosh pit.
That's what I wanted to imagine. Thank you.
Like Lindsey Graham being like, all right. Like Greenland being like, you go there, you do that.
Oh my God. Okay. So, when we look around the body to try to find out where this TT virus is at, we seem to be able to find it in pretty much all the tissues in your body except for in red blood cells and platelets.
Okay.
But otherwise, it seems like it's kind of everywhere. Maybe it's being replicated within the liver and or bone marrow and potentially in some immune cells like T cells and granulocytes. But again, it doesn't seem to cause any issues or deficiencies in those cells. Like if they're dividing in T cells, they don't seem to be hurting our T cell numbers. So like what is going on? It can be transmitted from mother to fetus through the placenta or from mother to baby through breast milk, but can also be transmitted between anyone via respiratory droplets and by poop. It's like almost every option for like a way for a virus to get from one person to another.
Makes sense if it does. Everywhere.
Yeah. The viral load, which means how much of it is in your blood, how many little viral particles are in your blood, it tends to go up when people are immunocompromised. So maybe our immune system is like keeping the levels down like a little bit, but it's like going from lower levels to higher levels when you're immunocompromised, right? Okay. But again, it doesn't seem to make you sick while you're immunocompromised. It's just the levels change. Ooh. So again, what the fuck, right? Some scientists are actually suggesting that we use the levels of TTV in your blood as like an indicator for if you're having immune issues. So like if the level goes up, they're like, uh-oh, you have an immune issue. But it's not because TTV is dangerous. It's just because it seems to be a bellwether for how your immune system is doing. And so it's hard to even say whether I would call torctenovirus a pathogen, because, like, we really can't tell how it's even hurting us.
Right.
And it just seems to be around in, like, everybody, and maybe always will be.
Well, just, like, really crazy.
Yeah.
Crackpot time.
Yeah.
What is it?
Probably the Holy Ghost.
That's too crackpot.
Is that too far? That's too far?
You went too far.
Do you have any idea what you've done? My entire life. Okay. Well, look, we technically are supposed to say things to end an episode. So we're going to say thank you to Stacey Song, our sound lord and engineer. And we're going to say thank you to Brian Allen for art. And
Griffin.
Street Griff.
We love Street Griff.
We love him.
We love
him. God love him.
All right.
We're going to start slotting some ads in here and there about a children's book that's come into our lives recently.
Jack and Tito.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that.
It's written by our mother.
Yes.
Natalie Song Allen, and it's really good.
But guys, it will legitimately make your child cry.
It'll break your heart.
Yes.
And you'll be crying, and your kid will be like, "Daddy, why are you crying?" And you'll be like, "'Cause I want to die."
Well, I don't
They'll
know if
get
we're
it
keeping
when
that
you buy it.
Yes, that's true. It's on Amazon. You can do that. And then speaking of things on the internet, we have a Patreon.
Yeah,
Patreon.com/PetriDish. We have an email address, PetriDishPod@gmail.com. And then we also have a Twitter handle. It is @DishPodcast.
You guys, ich bin ein Science.
We will see you next time.
Woo!